welcome to this, the final episode of Free Your Good Home. No, we've been away for a while, Ben.
Yeah.
I shouldn't introduce myself. I'm Michael Hing.
I'm Ben Jenkins.
And last one of these recorded was, I think, in May, but it never made it up because I was running for the Senate at the time.
Yep.
And the last one we actually did was in, probably April, I think. So it's been a couple of months.
It's been a long time. Do you want to update people? You're now a senator.
I was going through our inbox today.
Yeah.
Trying to...
A lot of very cross people.
Yes. And also a lot of very helpful people sending in a lot of great classifiers for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me I wanted to try and put our podcast on Spotify because a lot of people are asking for that.
Are they?
So I tried to do that. It was going to send you an 8-digit code because it's your email address it's attached to.
Sure.
I was like, I can't be bothered with that.
Yeah, I can't be trusted with an 8-digit code. Yep. I'd freak out.
I can't text Ben and ask him for an 8-digit code. Uh-huh. But it did make me check our numbers. And Ben,
yeah.
Have you seen our numbers?
No.
Our podcast has gone viral.
Really?
Our podcast is now listened to somehow. Since we stopped doing it, it has now over 11,000 listeners.
Really?
I have no idea who you are or why you're listening to this. But it's shot up the charts. And I honestly don't, maybe it's Dragon Friend stuff.
Are we treating him mean and keeping him keen? Is that
look, if you're a new listener who's joined the Freedom of Good Home,
yeah.
I don't know what we
call family.
You. Yeah, family, Hall of Cowards.
Yep.
Since we last recorded an episode, please let us know why are you
here?
Because we've not promoted this at all.
I think one of the most warm things you can do when somebody comes to an unfamiliar place is immediately demand why they're there.
That's how I sell all my comedy shows. Yeah. Hey, everyone, great to be here. Thanks. Why are you here?
I think we opened Dragon Friend shows for about 2 years with that.
Why are you here?
Oh, man, well, that's exciting. Welcome.
Mm.
So what's
been happening with your life?
Well, I'm so, yeah, we've taken some time off, and it's mainly my fault.
You had the baby to raise?
I had the baby to raise and moved house and just generally just contempt for all of you, especially the new listeners.
You've got a very secret job, which I don't think you're allowed to talk about, but at any point will you be allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, probably. One day I'll be able to talk about how I started the coup in Venezuela.
A real Bay of Ben situation.
Yeah, I've been working in reality TV,
yeah.
Which has been really wild.
Uh-huh,
and
can you say anything without names, or is it all too secret?
The NDA that I signed to work on this show,
the non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. Was the most horrifying document I've ever signed in my life.
When you opened up the NDA, did it sort of like curse at you in an ancient tongue? And then
listeners can't see this, but just because I've brought up the NDA, a sort of laser sight has appeared over my heart region.
That's
and they're allowed to take me at any moment. But it's been really interesting. I've been, you know that Mighty Mighty Boss Stones lyric that I think about a lot? And which one could it be? I'm not a coward, I've just never been tested. I've never had to test my moral line when it comes to making television. Because TV I've made my entire career.
Mm.
It hasn't been like morally great TV, but it hasn't necessarily been a morally ambiguous TV.
It
tends to have been like pretty milquetoast satire, if we're honest.
Yes, right,
or just really stupid comedy.
Yes, No, I mean the same.
To be like, oh, is this an okay thing to do?
Whereas, the show I'm making potentially a bad show? Or not just bad quality or whatever, but you're talking about morally.
For the first time I've had to go, is the world a worse place for having this product in it? Which I should have been thinking about with this podcast for years.
I mean, yeah, given how Dungeons & Dragons podcast, which is mostly about we and cum, and this Classifieds podcast, which is mostly, again, about we and cum, I don't know why the qualms you've got.
No.
It's because finally you're actually making money out of those things and not these.
I think it's money. I think it's potential reach. But the first time I had to be like, it's interesting, I discovered where my line is. So that was good. It's good to know where you're lying.
On the secret job.
On one of the secret jobs. Yeah, on one of the jobs, I was like, huh, that's where that is. So that was good. I think everybody should do that. I think what you should do
is keep doing more and more morally ambiguous jobs.
Well, find whatever your job is, right? If you work in a glue factory.
Sure.
Find the
you
most.
You should be the person who slits the throats of the horses.
Find them. Yeah, exactly. Find the most morally compromised part of that glue factory.
Right.
And work a couple of shifts there.
But it's not even within the glue factory. You want to find the most morally compromised factory as a whole.
Sure.
To work in.
Whether that's in the factory to sector or the glue sector. I don't know how, which way you want to slice that. But yeah, so I've been I've been busy, and Hing is at our new apartment. Not our new. We haven't moved in.
No.
It's not an odd couple situation. Although, can you imagine? You don't have to. We did once. So thank you for coming.
Yeah, this has been great. As I was saying to you just before we started recording, Dan. This is kind of, I was saying to you, this is, it's a fancy part of town you live in now. Not a trendy part of town, but
it's a very good way of putting it.
Very fancy part of town. And I was like, this is kind of the place where the Queen would live if she had a house in the city. And then you told me.
Well, the Governor General lives like nearby.
And so there's lots of Australian Federal Police cars around.
Tremendous amount of Federal Police cars around.
And what's great about that is the AFP, who were just wandering the streets, doing their job protecting the Governor General and the dignitaries who live near here.
And also the Prime Minister is also around somewhere.
As in... Oh, the Prime Minister's house.
Well, because there's
right
Admiralty
here.
House and there's Kirribilli House. This will all get cut, but
no,
because I'm kind of doxing myself in a way because I'm the Governor General.
You are Quinton Bryce,
but I'm just saying that what
who's
this,
the Governor General? Quinton Bryce.
Do not rightly recall. It has not been Quinton Bryce for a while.
Okay,
but I can tell you that one of the goals of this podcast has been to get the Governor General on, and it's never been easier than now. So,
just what I noticed as I was wandering through is because it's a nice part of town, it's also a place a lot of tourists come
very much
to take photos, right? Because you live near the water and whatnot. I'll do the GPS coordinates in the Facebook group.
Sure.
But what I noticed was the AFP, who were meant to be there, like... you know, stopping people from hurting the Governor General or whatever.
That's
bullying
on their
the Governor
badge
General.
In Latin. Yeah.
it was like four AFP officers in a car, in two cars.
Yeah.
Right? A big van-y one and then a small sedan-y one.
Yeah.
And they were watching a very frazzled old Chinese couple try to park a car. And
offering any help or just...
Absolutely not. They've sunglasses, sitting in the car, like a stakeout, but the stakeout, the crime they're watching is
bad reverse parking.
60-year-old woman trying to park a car. And it was very sad.
Part of I walk Moses around this neighborhood and there's like a little park next to the Governor General's house. And like there is a police presence, but there's also kind of like a nice lack of it. Like, you know, I think one of the things that Australians are weirdly proud of is like, oh, like our elected officials don't walk around with crazy amounts of bodyguards and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But like I was walking through that park with him and I just noticed that like someone had just like right next door to the Governor General's house just set up a tent where they were living. And I was like, maybe that's too lax. That's a head of state.
Fair enough. So did you tell Mo to take his tent down?
I did. I said, you've got a house. Come back.
All right. This is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds to find the best and worst thing to talk about. And this, Ben.
Yes.
I discovered this and I think you'll really enjoy it. This is from the South Philadelphia area.
Wonderful part of the world. I've been there before.
Hello. Have you really been to South Philadelphia before?
Sure, I have.
What were you doing in Philadelphia?
I was looking at the Liberty Bell.
Ah, ding dong.
No, I spent like a week there when we lived in New York. It was really nice.
Of course. Well, this is entitled... I will fight. I will fight any Irish person. This is a man looking for another man.
Sure.
Sicilian born and raised in Jersey, trying to prove that Italians are better than the Irish. Will fight any Irish person.
No.
Must be from South Philly.
Why?
Fight has to happen on the 9th. And Christian at... Fight has to happen on 9th and Christian, that is
streets,
the
yep,
streets,
yep, yep.
outside Lorenzo's Pizza.
Well,
it's a real home turf situation if you're Sicilian.
Yeah, that's a home ground advantage for the...
shirts optional. Last name starting with Mc preferred, which I think is Scottish,
isn't it? That's
Scottish.
That's 100p Scottish.
No weapons. Please contact me to set up a date and time. Do you have any Irish blood in you, Ben?
No, Welsh.
Welsh. Okay. Well, I am. I think according to my DNA test, I'm something like 3% Irish.
Yeah, right.
So do you think I could do that?
How Italian are you?
No. I'm fighting an Italian.
I'm asking, are you more Italian than you are Irish?
My understanding is I'm 0% Italian.
Okay.
Italian.
Okay.
So I think I could go. Do you think if I just turned up and was like, hey, I've got my DNA test here.
Yeah.
Could I fight you? Would this Sicilian man fight me?
I think if you turned up with a DNA test and some forged documents to say you were from South Philly, because that seems to be important to him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he must be from South Philly.
Well, hang on. Is that because it's happening in South Philly or is that because he has this...
Oh, do you think there's an Italians v. Irish clash going on in South Philly?
Well, here's what I think. I think that this guy has put way too many caveats on this.
Oh, in order to never have to fight.
To never have to fight, or because he knows the, like, for some reason, maybe there aren't many Italians in South Philly. Maybe there are heaps. I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, I feel like he's like, yeah, I'll fight anyone if they're from here and they can provide a birth certificate. And on this date, outside this pizzeria, like,
yeah, I get you.
Maybe somebody's been like, hey, man, you're super racist about the Italians, or the Irish, rather. Put up or shut up. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he puts it up online, but it's all these caveats, so he'll never have to realize his goal of fighting an Italian.
Now, I don't know a lot about pizza.
Sure.
Or Lorenzo as a name. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Sicilian or not. Is there a chance that Lorenzo's Pizza is his pizza restaurant?
Okay, we can't rule it out.
So if you were running a pizza restaurant,
yeah,
under what circumstances would fighting the Irish outside your pizza restaurant be a good thing? Like, what is that?
I'm struggling to think of any.
Is it a marketing ploy at all? Could it possibly be a marketing ploy? If you win the fight, you get a free slice.
That's it. That is a marketing point. Come to my pizza restaurant if you're Irish.
If you can beat Lorenzo.
If you can beat Lorenzo up, you get a slice. If you don't, my racism continues. Because that's the thing. Like, he's like, I'm out to prove something. And it's like, well, I actually... What does he say he's trying to prove? He's trying to prove...
I'm trying to prove that Italians are better than the Irish. Doesn't say... I mean, it's implied that he's talking about fighting, but it's not explicit.
But also, the sample size is far too small. Like, that's obviously, I should have many, many more issues with this because it's essentially racial violence. But my issue right now is that of data. Like,
yeah, so exactly. Because I can think of a very strong Italian person, a very weak Irish person.
Also, like,
physically. I could think of a very weak Italian person, you know, and a strong Irish, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
also, like, you know.
Thinking to myself, like, wow, what about the strongest Italian in you can think of?
Yep, done.
Versus
Rocky Balboa.
I was going to say Julius Caesar.
Well, he's dead.
Well, yeah. Well, Rocky Balboa doesn't exist. Okay. And the strongest Irish person, probably Conor McGregor, I imagine.
Yeah, great call.
So could Conor McGregor beat Julius Caesar in a fight?
Can we come back to Rocky Balboa? Because okay. I feel like those two are better matched.
Okay, they're both trained fighters.
Do you know who we need? We need Cameron James or Alexis Teleopoulos for this.
Oh, because I feel like this is Fighting Drago season two.
Yeah, because I also feel like they've run the numbers on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think the plot of Rocky something, maybe Rocky IV?
Is he finds, he goes in time, fights Julius Caesar.
Well, no, so
why would he fight Julius Caesar?
Somebody runs like a computer simulation and they're like, Rocky would actually beat anyone alive today. Which is, now that I think about it, it's insane. But I think that'd be a good fight to watch.
Rocky Balboa versus Conor McGregor.
Well, let's be honest, it'd be Sylvester Stallone versus...
Well, okay, so it'd be, what, a 70-year-old man getting punched by a man who wears nice suits and...
Vicious.
A
vicious killer.
And mate, I think he brews whiskey now, I think.
Sure.
Conor McGregor. I don't know a lot about
him. Probably, like, without being dramatic, I think he would kill a 70-year-old man. Like, I think that's what you'd actually come to. And I think the fight would start and it would be like a novelty, and then you'd realize collectively as a group that you'd come to watch a 70-year-old man get beaten to death by a psychopath. And I don't think that'd be a good feeling.
But then Conor McGregor could have free slice pizza.
That's true.
Which would be good for him.
That's true.
All right, Ben, do you have one for us?
Yeah, I do. I don't quite understand this one. It was sent in by Catriona Lang. Thank you. Hall of Cowards inductee?
Yeah, this was actually posted in our Facebook group, the Freedom Good Home podcast Facebook group.
Yes.
Which, again, people are still trying to sell a lot of furniture in. That is not the purpose of the group.
I think that now that we've gone viral, we have enough of a base that they can do that too.
All right.
So this is from Toronto Craigslist. Trying to park in my spot with a broken foot? You were trying to take my spot. You insisted I move as you had a handicapped permit. I told you to fuck off again. I also told you how annoying you were. Your car was missing parts. Mine was complete.
Wow, weird flex, but okay.
I left. Would love to catch up. So I assume this is in the misconnections part.
Of Craigslist.
Do you think this is somebody like who is unable to apologize?
Oh,
you know those people who are like pathologically unable to apologize.
Will never say the word sorry.
And so like he's outlined this in such a way that like makes it very clear he's the bad guy. Mm. And then he's like, well, maybe we could talk about it more. Like,
as part of a 12-step
Yeah, because it feels to me like, you know, I've said this on the podcast before, one of my favorite things in life is when people are telling a story and you're like, oh, you don't realize you're the bad guy in this. There's no, even within that, there's no way that you could tell the story without realizing that you're the bad guy.
That happened to me recently.
What?
Telling a story and then midway through it, while I was talking to my friends, realized that everyone listening to the story thought that I was the villain.
Oh, you had that like mid-storytell.
It's an interesting moment because you're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told you this, Ben, uh-huh. but when Hum and I moved into here, we purchased a couch.
Sure.
Not unlike your couch. Sure. It is blue.
Yep,
our
okay.
blue.
Uh-huh.
And then Hum said to me, well, we spent a bit of money on the couch. We didn't have a lot of money to spend on other stuff. So she said, let's go to IKEA, get some cheap shit to fill out the rest of the house. Then she had to go away to Melbourne or something to write on this thing she's writing on.
Sure.
And, so I was left in charge of that. And she said to me, can you go and get... Have I told you the story?
No.
Oh, she said to me, can you go and get all the other furniture and just make sure it goes with the blue couch? And so my brain heard those words and then was like, goes with the blue couch, goes with the blue, great, gonna get a blue rug and a blue table. So you've not been to our house.
No.
But it's very blue.
Uh-huh, there's a ever die.
Huge blue rug. There's a blue, anyway. Yeah. So then... that happened.
Yeah.
And then she came back and was like, what the fuck? You're a fucking bowelbird. What is wrong with you?
Sure,
she's furious. You know what Hum can be like.
Yeah. She's a crazy lady.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And I was like, I fucked up, haven't I? She's like, yes, you fucked up. What is wrong? I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I mean, in fairness, to give you instructions like that aren't really specific was kind of on her. Because you're so fucking stupid.
That's right. Yeah, you've experienced this before many times, our friendship. Yeah. So then, this was the thing. This was the bit of the story I was telling my friends when I realized I was the villain.
Sure.
She went away again, and I thought to surprise her
because
we just moved in. We didn't have any of the appliances for the kitchen or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I went and bought a toaster and a kettle
and a bucket of blue paint.
And I bought like six appliances, a juicer and a whatever, just blender. Whatever. And I bought all matching ones that were all blue.
Oh God.
Thinking that this would be a funny joke.
No.
Well, and then Hum came home, was, you know, she was like, hey, this is not, why did you do this?
Uh-huh.
This is very hurtful that you've decided to use our house that we live in as a joke,
as a
bit. What are you doing?
No one likes to live in a bit.
I love it.
Sure. Sorry.
I have many brain worms.
Yeah.
And so then we got into a bit of a tiff about it.
Mm.
I then went, the next day I was at work, was like telling Cam and Vic and Jenna and everyone.
And at this point you didn't realize you were the villain of
it
this.
It was, I reckon, 5 minutes into me telling the story, I was well into telling the story to them, being like, "And she's mad at me," and everyone was like, "You need to sit down and think about what you've done."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Oh, you think I'm?" And then I sort of had to apologize a lot. Anyway,
sure. So do you still have all these appliances, or have you taken some of them back? And
no, every now and again, I'll just buy one more blue thing because the other day.
Well, it's good to see that you've learnt.
The other day,
nothing.
I purchased a lava lamp, a blue lava lamp.
Oh, okay.
And I set it up so that when Hum came home, when she puts her keys down on the table, she saw the invoice and she looked at it, she's like, what? Did you buy a blue lava lamp? And then as you come into a house, you can't really see where I was sitting.
Yeah.
And as she came around the corner, I was just cradling it like a baby. And I'd been sitting there for 40 minutes waiting for her to come home.
Oh, my God. Please don't force your girlfriend to live in a bit. Please.
But now she loves the lava lamp. Now I come home and she does a thing which she calls watching lamp, where she just sort of watches the lava lamp.
See, I remember there was a period in the early 2000s where lava lamps had a real comeback. I don't know where you'd get a lava lamp now. If gun to my head, I wouldn't know.
There's a place in the UK that's been like steadily making them since the 60s. It's the same place.
Oh, so you got one shipped? Because I remember you couldn't move for lava lamps in 2000 and 1999, 2000, towers come down, it stops. Yeah. But like that.
They were like, now is not the time for liquids to move within other liquids.
Yeah. Well, do you remember also that was around about the time that inflatable furniture We lost out. I don't know if this was an international thing or just an Australian thing, but for a while, around about the time that Eiffel 65 was changing pop music forever with I'm Blue, which you really should, if you do want to continue to live in a bit, you should have had that blasting when Hum came home.
I haven't paid for Spotify.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to find all the songs I want.
Yeah, because you've run out of money because you've hoarded things like a fucking bowerbird, as Hum says. Remember that inflatable furniture? Mm. And I remember like getting it, even as like a 12-year-old, and thinking like, this is insane. Like, why isn't all furniture inflatable? This, and then sitting down, I was like, oh, this is
so uncomfortable.
This is awful.
You get static electricity all over your body.
But it was amazing because I reckon like the manufacturer, like that sector knew that, like I reckon there was like a calculation somewhere where they were like, what we need to do is sell as, because if you try this once, you will never ever do it again, and you will tell as many people as possible. So we just need to offload as many units before. It's like booking people to watch TV shows.
Yeah,
it's like no one who's ever seen a TV show taped will ever go back. Unless they're insane.
No one goes to two TV tapings.
No. So nobody buys two inflatable couches. Yeah. Like, so they just needed to like. There must be an economic term for this where they just needed to like flood the market. Before.
It's called fraud. Called fraud.
Yeah.
Hey Ben, can I share this one with you?
Yeah,
this one is real good stuff. Mm-hmm. This was sent in by McKay Finley. Thank you, McKay.
What a name.
Yeah, and this is taken from the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K and 6K user group, right? So this is a
very specific group.
This is a Facebook group for a high-end cameras. These 4K, 6K. These are very, very expensive
cameras.
I'll
be honest, I didn't know it went up to 6K.
I didn't either.
You know, by the way, I... you know how like you and I have worked in TV for a little bit now, and we've both also worked jobs where like, you know, we haven't really had like a ton of crew, so we've had to do some of the crew stuff ourselves, even if we're in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I have, I don't know about you, but like I know nothing about cameras, but I've done enough now that I really should. And like to the point where camera operators assume that I know a lot about cameras and
swing a lens. You're like, no.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. I have two things that I say. I say, should we swing a lens on that? And I say, is that in 4K? So we'll shoot this in 4K, swing a lens. Great. Let's, those are my only two things. So I say that to every new camera operator and they see right through me and then just hand me a tripod to carry. We get that in 4K. Did we get that in 4K? I don't think I'm saying it right because I think you're either shooting in 4K or not. So if we start the day shooting in 4K and we just... Can we get that in 4K? Everything we're doing is in 4K, Ben. Like, that's the impression that I get. Swing a lens means change the lens on the camera, I understand. Now, I thought that kind of meant just move the camera. So, like, there's been a lot of times where I now realize, looking back on, like, conversations I've had with these really patient people, that I was saying things that didn't make sense and they were really sweet about it. They were like, I'd be like, can we get that in 4K? They'd be like, I think we can. Anyway.
So this is posted in a high-end camera group that you could perhaps
join. I'm going to say now, I'll say let's get it in 6K.
this is posted by someone called John to that group.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ad. It says, videographer to document my confessions. Before I turn myself in.
Oh, no.
I want to document my confessions.
What?
So people can study the way my mind works.
What?
Must have your own equipment.
Sure.
Must not scare easy.
Oh.
No weapons.
That's the second ad we've read today that says no weapons.
My favorite part about this is so they can study the way my mind works.
Yeah. Well, you think, I think it's really important if you're a serial killer, you have to think, how will my season of Mindhunter look if they don't have the correct source materials? First of all, I will say this, shooting in 4K or 6K,
as it were,
is a luxury you don't need.
For a confession.
Use your phone. Use your phone and get, because the most important thing is sound. So spend a little bit of money on a lapel mic. You can get ones that plug right into the phone, which is great. A lavalier that goes onto your lapel. And do that. But no, shooting in, do we get that in 4K? And the bodies will never be discovered. Can we get that in 6K?
6K, guys.
Swing a lens?
Let's get a drone shot of me confessing to murdering 18 backpackers in the Blanglo Forest, please.
Oh man!
Did you see that Ivan Milat, the serial killer for the Australian serial killer? I think maybe Australia's most notorious serial killer.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Released a statement. He wrote like a several page letter to the Herald saying I'm innocent.
Did they run it?
Well, they read. I think they ran the
he'd sent it, and they read excerpts from it.
What?
But then, then they also, which was quite funny of the Herald, they ran just snippets of all the evidence that definitely means he definitely did it. Like, it's sorry, to be clear, it was, these are awful crimes that happened, but
sure.
the amount of evidence linking to the, it's comedic the amount, the how guilty this man is.
I think Carl Sanderlands is a Malat truther.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think we have some high profile media Malat
can't
truthers.
Wait for us to get sued by Mr. Sanderlands. So for example, one of the things that means Ivan Milat definitely did is after he murdered all these poor backpackers.
Mm-hmm. And how long was this?
I think it was over several years. He, like, their possessions that were taken from their bodies, like, and out of their backpacks and whatnot, turned up in his house.
Sure.
Along with many of the weapons used to kill
now
them.
Now, that's bad optics.
And then this is the thing, like, some of the other possessions that went missing from their belongings ended up with, like, owned by other friends and family of his. So, that's the thing I find the most disturbing, which is that Milat was
he
killing people.
He re-gifted.
And then was like, I'll take those shoes,
yeah,
and then I'll give them to John.
So, not only a murderer, but quite cheap.
Exactly.
What's the ethics there? Not of the murdering.
Yeah, I guess, can you be done for receiving stolen goods if they were stolen from someone the person had already murdered? I imagine you would be able to.
We'll have to ask Anya when she gets back.
is this the kind of legal questioning she's missed while we've been away?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I'd take this gig.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, videographers, shooter producers, they're always looking for work. And
just the other thing, like,
I could look good on a CV.
Must bring own equipment, right? That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then must not scare easy.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to be starting telling the story and then they go, woo, and run away. I'm really enjoying the idea of, like, a Mindhunter-style confession video, but done in the style of, like, a corporate video that these people would be most obviously shooting with, like, fucking, what do you call it, like, xylophone music in the background.
Marimbas or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Soft focus. Again, drone footage. Like, really make it pop.
So, yeah, you're not a fan of this one? Maybe this would be a great opportunity for you to learn how to use the camera span.
That's true.
Turn up to this guy's house.
I reckon his crimes suck.
Oh, you think it's not a serial killer?
I think if you're a real serial killer, you just write what you did and come, wrap it round a brick and throw it through the police station machine.
And then yell Batman and run away.
Yeah, this is not the way. This is a showboater who's like, oh, Perhaps this will be of interest to you. I put pears through the self-service as though they were carrots.
Sorry, just thinking of Batman then for a second.
Yeah.
It's brought up an idea in my brain.
Sure.
In Batman,
yep.
You know how Batman is what's the word? He's summoned?
What? Oh, by the light. Yeah.
Why has no one ever just made their own light?
I'm sure there's some shitty comic that's done
that. The Riddler's made his own light and then captured. Yeah, okay.
But also, why don't you just follow where the light is and then just camp out there and then just wait, I don't know, a day? Has that ever happened? Because by its definition, like, it's quite easy to find because
it's a signal.
It's a signal. Just go do it backwards.
I wonder if Batman's still using...
Well, he's not real Hink, so I don't think he's doing anything.
But do you think in the comic that's set in 2019, do you think Batman's still using the light? Or do you think they've just got a WhatsApp group?
There's an app. You know what I love? I'm really enjoying at the moment this kind of part of collapse that we're in, where we're like desperately affixing meaning to pop culture.
This
feels relatively new.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't mean past 5 years or so. Like everything
as a world collapses around us, as democracy crumbles, etc.
Yeah, like we become more atomized, and as like communities fall apart, we don't really have any identity that is meaningful. Yes. Assigning like huge significance to pop culture is really funny, and it's like in the past when that's happened, it's like it's at least been like beautiful paintings and like that's stupid, but at least like.
Yeah.
But now, like what I love about it is like this new Joker movie. where it's become like these characters have become like almost like mythic archetypes. And what I enjoy doing whenever I read an article about it where it's like you know, the Joker represents chaos, he is blah blah, I like to think about the first time that whoever invented them came up, because I guarantee you It's like, how do we come with Spider-Man? Like, Stan Lee talks about this, where he's like, I was at my desk, and I thought, ah, we need a, what about Bugman? That doesn't work. And then I saw a spider. That's it. I went to lunch. That's the whole, I guarantee you that if you found the origins of the Joker, it would be like, well, Marvel had Clown Guy, and I thought, well, they've got that, and I had a lot of green ink. So I just did that. And then I had all these stories end with, and then I had lunch. No fucking thought went to this whatsoever, but we've like reverse engineered it to be these like mythic. I love it. It's like my,
Do you think the same thing happens with more classic characters?
Sure.
Like the guy who came up with Hercules was like, he's big and strong?
We need something. And then I had lunch. Hing, do you want one?
Yes, please.
This is taken from Brooklyn, from Craigslist, Brooklyn.
I've been there.
Oh, have you?
Mm. Nice. In New York.
Uh-huh. It's a nice part of the world. Thank you, Chari. Thank you, Charo Savrenti, for sending this in. I apologize if I mispronounce your name there. On our Freddie Good Home
Facebook group.
Woman to sit in my bathtub full of ramen noodles.
Fuck yeah.
This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's a sentence that gets, that starts fine, and then it basically every word becomes more alarming. So we're on Craigslist, woman, fine. Man looking for woman, yep. Absolutely. To sit, all right, in my bathtub. Well, I don't know. Full of, well, if it was just full of water, you wouldn't be saying what it's for.
What's it's probably more comfortable than an empty bath.
Yeah, full of what? Full of ramen noodles. No, thanks. I will pay you, though, $175, that's US, to sit in my bathtub full of ramen noodles.
I would do that. I'm not wearing a bathing suit. Oh, so not nude?
No. I will not be home. Nor will anyone else while you do this. Well, I will give you the keys while we meet, and you will go to my apartment thereafter. It will require, what's it there? A 30-minute soak. The noodles will be cooked and therefore slippery.
Please take care.
Charo has made the point, that's $175 isn't bad, even if this turns out to be a broke uni student version of Hannibal.
I would do this for, I mean, I'm not a beautiful woman, but I would do this for $175.
This is the thing, right? This is something that we come up against a lot on this podcast, and we've like raised it with a bunch of guests, and like everybody has a different opinion.
Mm.
So like, this is definitely something for someone to jerk off into, right? Like,
but how would they know that it's happened? Like, do you have to film yourself?
Who cares?
Or?
You don't have to film yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. It's like, do I care if I do this like relatively
benign thing? Yeah,
knowing that
someone's going to jerk off
to it.
Mm.
And like, it's interesting because it's really split a lot of our guests. I have a friend who I think I've brought up on the podcast before who got. She's a writer. She writes about politics, but she got solicited on Twitter on a DM, being like, "How much for your underwear?" Mm. And she was like, $200,
and send off signed, sealed, delivered.
Like, $200 a pair.
But then is I wonder if part of the fetish for this person is if there's material like no one's gonna be home. Mm-hmm, but is there a blinking red light?
Oh, see, that's different.
Do you know what I mean?
If you take this at its word,
yeah.
Do you have a problem with it?
No, I mean, I don't.
Uh-huh.
But I would not begrudge anyone who did.
You would respect. And fair enough.
If you read this and were like, absolutely, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be like, what? So what, we're going to just eat dirt for the rest of our lives?
Well, this person probably thinks having a nice schnitzel for lunch is weird.
Yeah, like if I was a kid and my dad refused to do this, I would be like, oh, great. I guess I'll just have shitty shoes and wear nice, cool clothes, Dad.
$175 isn't bad.
Safety guaranteed, I would definitely do this.
That's the thing. I wouldn't do it because I don't think there's anything genuine about this ad at all.
No.
I think as with all of a lot of these ads, the thing that they've left out at the end, which they actually, you know how they add the do not contact me with blah, blah, blah? They should just auto add. You can opt out if you want, but it should be like, I will be murdering you.
Oh, no, there should be I will be, and there should be an option murdering you or jerking off. That's the two things.
Yeah.
So then let's get inside the mind of the person who posted this.
Yeah.
Do you think that when they wrote that they wouldn't be home,
mm-hmm.
do you think that they are saying that because they think people would find it uncomfortable for them to be home?
Yes.
Or do you think that's part of it? Where it's like, I need to be outside of the house. I need to think about them.
No, I think it's like, hey, I know what I'm asking you for is not selling my fridge. I understand that. You may have come onto this website to look for a fridge to buy. I want you to hear me out, though.
Mm.
I don't have a fridge to offer. I have $175, which will go some of the way to a fridge. I'm assuming you're not someone who does this sort of stuff on the reg. So first of all, let me just say, I won't be home while you're doing this new thing, right? We'll meet up. You'll have the keys. I think that's important. Like, I won't let you in. You'll have the keys, so I can't get in, you know? So you can have those keys, and then you can let me back in after you're all nice and soupy.
Wait, so in this scenario, you think there's only one pair of keys? Well, one set of keys?
I think that's what's being implied. I will give you the keys when we meet, and you will go to my apartment thereafter. So he goes to lengths to point out that, like, you will have a set of keys. Because also just like from a non-creepy thing, I think if I'm sitting in a bath, can I bring a book? Like if I'm sitting in a bathtub and I know he's like in the other.
Do you have to provide your own noodles?
No. The noodles will be cooked.
Okay, so he's going to provide the noodles. Well, how many packs of noodles?
I was just thinking that.
What do you need? So what's a pack of ramen cost?
I reckon his
like
total
50 cents each?
Yeah, I reckon his total outlay for this entire operation is $350.
Right, so 175
for the talent.
For the talent,
yeah.
175 for production costs.
Yeah, yeah, which is noodles.
Yeah, and do you think there's flavor sachets in there as well?
Actually, no, because there's a bit that I didn't see, which is do not bring any sauce. What? I will season the sauce after I get home. Sorry, I didn't see that last line.
Do not bring any sauce. I will season the sauce after I get home prior to dinner.
So I think
he wants to eat the noodles.
Yeah, of course he does. I thought we're on the same page, really, what he wanted to do with the noodles.
No,
eat them, then jerk off into them. But, I mean, there's an order there. I don't know what it is.
So he's then thinking about you stewing the noodles.
I'm no mind hunter, Michael Hing. This person hasn't recorded the video in 6K. I don't pretend to understand what's going on in this person's head. All I know is that somebody's going to sit in a bath of noodles in Brooklyn. They might be doing it right now. They might. Do you know what they might be doing? Because we have 11,000 listeners now, they might
be listening.
Be going, well, I'm going to get this. I'll get bored, so I'll bring my favorite podcast, my favorite new podcast, and I'll have a listen. I hope they don't imply that what I'm doing is about to get me axe murdered. I mean, get out if you're there.
I would, I stand by it. I would do it. I would happily do it.
I don't, you know what?
Okay. What about, would you, if your friend, if it was your friend who asked you to do this, would you do it? So take out the danger and they were just like, hey, I want some Ben flavored noodles.
Mm-hmm.
I would like some noodles. I've always wanted to eat noodles that had been soaked with a body. And you knew they weren't going to jerk off. It was a culinary thing. It was a MasterChef challenge.
It was okay. So there's a lot of ifs in this. Like, you're really building a really strange hypothetical. My friend calls me up. Let's say it's friend of the podcast, Dave Harmon.
Dave Harmon says, I'm on MasterChef
right now. Okay, hear me out. We don't have a lot of time. Friendship is the secret ingredient that Matt Preston has told me.
George Colombaris has told me the other ingredient is ramen, I think.
Okay, so that's my challenge. Thanks, Dave. I'm at work. Right. I need you to get to Redfern where we shoot this. Why? Listen to me. Hear me out. Shut up because I don't have... They've given everybody a minute to call somebody. Can you just get to bring a bathing suit? Don't bring any sauce.
Would you? Yeah, so in that scenario,
yeah, because I'm a very good friend,
right?
And okay. Because I'm in reality TV now, and I know how that goes.
you wanted to get through the next round,
yeah?
That's important.
Wouldn't that be great though if they were like, the challenge is friendship, and then like everybody goes off and is like, well, I made this quiche that my best friend Bethany taught me to make when we were growing up, and then Dave's like, I got my friend to stew in these, and they're like, you did fucking what? Is that who that slippery boy was that we had to kick out of the slippery noodle man? That was you?
I just imagine the MasterChef judges walking up to a bathtub with Dave just sitting in it filled with noodles. And he's like, eh? And he sort of makes them eat. But there's no utensils. So they've got to like sort of like dip their heads down like cattle into a trough.
They're filthy pigs.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. So if you're listening and you're in that bathtub, you know what? Go see what's on at Littlefield. It's a wonderful comedy venue in Brooklyn.
Just as a closer to that, in Australia, the MasterChef judges a couple of months ago got fired.
Yes.
But they've also said the MasterChef...
Well, they didn't renew their contracts yet.
Yeah. Oh, well, sorry. Yes, they didn't renew their contracts because there was a bit of bad press about one of the guys underpaying his workers and they wanted too much money, blah, 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 blah. Would you, if it was offered to you, would you be a judge on MasterChef?
Do you know what I think I'd have difficulty with? I think I would have difficulty in coming up. I'm always amazed in that show because they're food people. They can do it.
Mm.
But all the different ways they can talk about... Because, like, you know, you think you've got, I don't know how many dishes. Let's say you've got six dishes an episode, but then you can't say the same thing.
Can't
as the
say
other.
Sumptuous every...
But also you can't say the same thing as anybody either side of you, and there's usually a guest judge. So that's 24 different ways
to describe
you have
a flan.
To describe, have to food. And once I get to, like, yummy, I'm kind of out. Like, I really am. I'm just like, well, that tastes like you did somebody bathe in this?
I think if I was a MasterChef judge, I would refer to everything as a succulent Chinese meal.
Uh-huh,
just see how long I lasted.
I think I'd refer to everything as a tasty little morsel. Ooh, what do we have here? A tasty little morsel.
Okay, if you do it enough, it becomes a catchphrase, and then people want you to say your catchphrase and not actually assess the food.
Yeah, I get a sweet sponsorship deal.
Do you think I could do it with, you know how I've got a very specific diet?
Very specific diet.
Do you think I could, be like, I don't want to get dairy in that, I don't know.
How good would it be if, like, one MasterChef, right, like one episode, it's like they lay it out, the dramatic music, a lady comes forward and she's sort of nervous and then...
And
then one of them's like, oh, I'm good. Oh, thanks, but I'm full.
Honestly, I had two pies in the green room and
I had some pies and they shouldn't have fed us, but they gave me hummus and dipsticks and carrots.
What did me though was I had a chocolate, like a chocolate thick shake. Please, I haven't had one of them in 10 years. But
please don't think I'm being rude, but because it looks delicious, but I couldn't possibly.
I simply couldn't.
Hing, do you want to take us home?
Yes, I do. This one was sent in by Tyler Parrott. Thank you, Tyler, who sent it into our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He sent this in back in May. So if we'd been on it, we could have been having these chuckles months ago. Ben.
Uh-huh.
So this has been this is a screenshot of a classified. Of video games by an old man that was posted to a group called
Butter
Junkies.
How do you know he's an old man?
His image is sort of a bearded
old
man.
So he looks like very old man, like a kind of hobo.
65-ish kind of man.
Well.
I'm
sorry, what's the group?
It's called Butter Junkies. So it's just people trying to...
Sure.
Yeah. Buy, swap, sells kind of group. This is video games.
Uh-huh.
$60.
Uh-huh. How many video games are we talking and what are they?
Well, there's six there. And six video games, $60.
We're talking like PS2?
PS4 games.
Whoa!
This is good. 38002 is the postcode. I think that's in America somewhere.
Yeah.
Six PlayStation 4 games. Six PlayStation 4 games. My grandson left them here and won't come get them.
That's nice because... Okay, yeah.
I will now read out the titles of the these, because then there's a photo there.
Oh, so he hasn't listed. It's a photo. Okay,
There's a photo of...
Like a stack of games.
A stack of cases.
Yep, okay.
I'll read out the titles of all the cases. Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
That's not a good game.
Mm-hmm. Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection.
Wonderful game, wonderful collection.
Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yep.
NBA 2K16.
Excellent game.
And then there's something called Bang That Black Pussy.
That's not a game.
Volume 8.
That's not a game. Does it have the PlayStation Blue thing on it?
No, all the others do. Need for Speed has that. NBA 2K has that.
Uh-huh.
All of them have the PlayStation 4 logo on them.
Uh-huh.
Bang That Black Pussy Volume 8.
It really does stick. I'm looking at the photo now. It really does. Volume 8. Wow.
the question I can't get out of my head is...
Mm-hmm.
Why was this DVD at this person's grandfather's house?
Oh, yeah. He left. He left them there. Well, he could have been living with his granddad.
Mm.
Or he could have, like, packed a bag to go stay with his granddad.
Either way.
Because his granddad has a PS4, obviously, and he's just bringing some games.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He's selling the games, not the PS4. But has brought a pornographic DVD.
Look, we don't know that. I mean, it's very likely it's a pornographic DVD. Sure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What do you think?
Bang That Black Pussy Volume 8
could be if it was not a pornographic DVD.
Yeah. No. You know, I'm coming up with a blank. You're right.
It could be a pornographic Blu-ray. Obviously.
It could be a game. But maybe not a PS4 game.
No. Maybe.
But if we take this man at his word, because usually PS4 games do have that stripe. But
yeah. So, I mean, there's no Xbox strap on that. It's not a Nintendo Switch game.
Well, no, that'd be really off-brand for Nintendo Switch, I gotta say.
Well, I don't know. Nintendo are sort of renowned for just every console generation just remaking the same games.
Sure.
So if there was
the Volume 8 is certainly in keeping.
It's like Final Fantasy 17 or whatever.
I actually remember Bang That Black Pussy on the SNES. It was, man.
Anyone who's about to write in and say that Final Fantasy is available on PlayStation, I don't want to hear it.
Uh-huh.
I was just riffing. I just no email. Send your wait. Where do we decide people are going to send their emails to now? To the Governor General of Australia.
Yeah, please
send all of your complaints or corrections to the Governor General of Australia, and then say the host of a podcast who lives near you.
Please do that, actually. If you have CC us, I guess, because we'll need...
BCC us.
Yeah, because we'd like to get the thing. But if you can start sending these ads also, and any feedback you have, maybe like, you know, length of the episodes or distance between episodes to the Office of the Governor General, I really would like that to happen because someone's going to read it and it's probably going to be the same person. Like, I don't think they'd have more than one media person.
Mm, yeah.
And... at the very least, it's going to confuse someone for a couple of months.
Oh, absolutely. They will be baffled by this. It'd be good.
Or, you know what could be funny? That person could figure it out, and then when I'm walking home one day, I get shot in the head by the AFP. Just domed through the brain by the Australian Federal Police.
I don't know which is funnier, but somehow... the emails that our listeners have sent to the Governor General constituted through some sort of cryptic, like, mindscape.
Byzantine law.
A threat.
Sure.
And they're all posted on a wall with red twine.
Sure.
And they're like, it's clear that Ben Jenkins is trying to kill the Governor General.
Sure.
You get murdered.
Yeah.
Or, you know, really executed.
Sure.
I don't know if that's quite funny. Or if it's just funny if they're just like... well, if we kill him, the emails will stop. Yeah.
No, that's
it's just extrajudiciously, you're just fucking done by the cops.
Every year, and I think it's every financial year, and it doesn't roll over, the Governor General gets to kill two people that are annoying. Oh, man. Ooh. Hey, I have something to plug.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I've got a newsletter now that people can subscribe to. It's a really fun thing to do. For me, you pop your details into it's a Substack. You pop your details into this thing, and I send you an email every week. Sometimes two emails a week.
And to be clear, this is I've signed up for this. It's pretty good stuff. It is a the purpose of this email list is that it's like short stories and fiction and some like writing.
So it's like short fiction and short non-fiction and sometimes essays.
The important thing is it's short.
Yeah, yeah. It's like nice, tasty morsels. it's tasty morsels from the Groovy Hub, to quote Succession.
And it's called?
It's called The Idiot Report.
Now, I asked you this question on our Twitch stream on Thursday night when we were doing Dragon Friends, and you weren't really able to give me an answer. Do you think...
it's a report for idiots or by an idiot?
Yeah, by an idiot or for idiots.
I need to look
at... sorry, on idiots, I should say.
Also, because it could be your for, by
or on.
I think it's all three. Wow. I think it's by idiots, for idiots, on idiots.
That's a pretty good tagline.
Yeah. But it's there's two stories up there now. There'll be another one up there next week, and you just get a little email every week, sometimes two. And
if you're someone who's worried that it's going to be an arduous amount of emails and you're cluttering out your inbox, as someone who's known Ben for over a decade now, I know this project will undoubtedly peter out in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, definitely.
So don't.
And if it doesn't, I'm going to get domed in the head by a sniper rifle. So I mean, it doesn't. By their elite sniper unit. So
right, at this point, if you are killed, and that just obviously, I'd be very sad.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'd be very sad.
I'd be devastated.
You'd be devastated. Yeah. You know what would keep me alive?
What?
The fact that this podcast would then have to be played as evidence in a court.
I think this podcast would, and I also think that we have great listeners. We have 11,000 of them now. That somebody would make a true crime.
podcast.
Because honestly, like, I'm the way I'll die is by like trying to retrieve my AirPods in a toilet and getting flushed into the sewers. Like, that's how I'm going to go. But I'm really happy that maybe my legacy will be like some conspiracy.
Oh, sure. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, look, if I go missing now, I think that's really great.
Yeah. But if, can you just tell into that microphone, can you just say that if you do go missing, I didn't do it?
Yeah.
No, we'll just say those
words. I won't say the words.
If you go missing, it's impossible that your friend Michael Hing did it.
Well, you've said the words now, so that's great. And we can all agree that those are some words. So fantastic.
Hey, I also have something to plug.
Yep.
At the end of this month, I am going to be doing two stand-up comedy shows in Sydney as part of the Sydney Fringe.
Yes.
Where I will be trying out some new material. But amazing. Here's the kicker.
Uh-huh.
Ben, I know you know this. Mm-hmm. I purchased a $250 mascot lobster suit.
You did, yeah.
Very bright red in nature. And I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy in a lobster suit. And I don't know exactly how it's going to play out.
Sure.
But the Saturday show, which is on the 28th, is basically... Sorry, the Friday show on the 27th is basically sold out.
So is my newsletter. Get over
and
it.
And the Wednesday show, there's still a bunch of tickets left.
That's great.
So the 25th of September, if you want to buy some tickets
I might
that.
Try to get to the Wednesday show. I like having outings. Yeah.
Look, I can't... I did some... I did a trial of the trial show on Wednesday, and Victoria Zerps, former guest of the show, said it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. But she's also very... mentally unwell.
Sure.
And was in a sort of a manic state at that point.
Yeah, right.
So it's hard to know if...
Well, that's great. We just recommend that if you want to come to the show, get into a manic state beforehand.
Really do.
Whatever that takes.
Yes.
Get into those, consult
your medical professionals before you do that.
It's just great because what you want, I think what you're saying is... If it's between the dizzying highs and the crushing lows.
I love the dizzying highs.
Ideally, your audience would be in the dizzying highs phase of
not
mania.
The crushing lows. No one wants to.
If you're in the crushing lows, stay away.
No, I mean, look, because there are comedy shows that probably would help you with that. This will not. This is not something to check out the depths. Just a man sweating profusely in a lobster suit.
People are calling this the second Nanette, which is weird because she's already released another thing. So.
All right, this has been super fun, and I shit you not, there are 11,000 people listening to this now, and I do not know who you are. So please do get in touch.
Yes, please do,
and let us know how this has come to you in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Bye. If you like piña colada. And getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.